Blog Talk Radio.
All righty, and welcome to this week's episode of Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall. I'm so excited for everybody that has joined us already in our chat rooms on blogtalkradio.com, as well as www.discoveringthetruthwithdanduvall.com, where this program airs live with video feed. We have a lot that we're going to talk about tonight, folks, and this is going to be a really exciting program. There's no question about it. But before I introduce our guest, I want to put a few things out there. One, our website, www.bridemovement.com. That's www.bridemovement.com. That's where you can access us, information about the ministry, myself, books I've written, Noah's Ark and the End of Days, as well as Wounded by Leadership, both are available there. Also links to this radio program and our archives, which are just chock full of wonderful, incredible episodes, and information that you really need to know, as well as some videos that we've put up there and so forth. Make sure you check it out. Also, call in number tonight, 718-766-4160. This is a live program, and so if you do listen to us live, you can call in. I just want to welcome those of you that will listen to us when we are not live, those of you that will see this on YouTube, as well as in our iTunes podcast. Now, I do have a few updates to bring your attention to before we get started with our guests. And this has been an incredible month for me, and I'll tell you why. I have been fasting all month. And I'm not – while I fast all the time, I mean, God just never lets this thing go with me personally. It's always from one thing to another. I mean, I went from fasting one day a week to, you know, there was the year that I had to fast media for an entire year. No entertainment or anything whatsoever. Then there was, you know, the year that I was doing the first 3 days of every month, like, you know, fasting. And then this year, God had me to start the year with a 30-day fast, which has been incredibly intense. But you know what? I praise God because this month has been exciting for me personally. There's been a lot that has taken place. A lot has taken place. And frankly, things that were so far off my radar have come, been presented to me, come my way. And it's going to change certain things. So for those of you that have enjoyed listening to this show and everything else like that, don't worry, because Daniel Duvall is not moving off of radio. But there's going to be a lot of transition that I'm going to be heading into the month of February that I tell you this now, I could not have foreseen. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps. A man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Now, I know that I've been kind of advertising this year that we have a plan. I have a plan this year where I'm going to have a series of shows, one on dimensions of healing, dimensions of the kingdom, dimensions of prayer, and finally dimensions of consciousness. And this is how we're going to be talking more and really equipping people with some of the things God has equipped me with. And, you know, this was my plan because I felt, you know, this is how I can step into this word from God. I said, Daniel, you're not talking enough. Well, I had a plan in my heart, but the Lord, well, he's come in and directed my steps. This is not going to be the way this year turns out, apparently. So with that said, I cannot yet reveal all the things that are coming, but what I can say is this. For the month of February, due to the incredible transition we're going to be going through, I am not at present scheduling any programming for that month. If you've been following this show, this will be a great opportunity for you to get some time to go back and search our archives for shows and programs that you missed, maybe that you hadn't found us yet, and now that you found us, you know, you'll have an opportunity to go back, listen to some of the things we've already put out there. At a future date, I will reveal what is changing and what this means and everything else like that. But for now, suffice it to say that we're going to really enjoy our program tonight. And so, with that said, our guest tonight, Alexander Backman. And folks, as we go into this program, just keep this in mind, okay? We talk about a lot of controversial things on my show, a lot. I mean, we do it all the time. So with any of my shows, and with that myself, and any of my guests, you know, if you hear something that you're not used to hearing or you don't like it, you know what? The reason why we do talk radio is to make awareness happen. Search the things out that we say or share or talk about. Don't just assume that, you know, we're right, and don't assume that we're wrong. We talk about things so you search it out, and so you can find whether or not these things be true. And if they are, then you can be equipped by new knowledge, new insights, new understandings, and new information. And with that said, you know, I just don't want a lot of hate mail, because we're going to get into some things tonight, folks. But here's the thing. Our guest, Alexander Backman, this is a man I've just recently become aware of, already love him. I've been highly impressed with his intelligence and love for the Lord. Now, his website, alexanderbackman.com, that's www.alexanderbackman.com. Now, his website has registered over 119 million unique hits, which is, in my opinion, incredible. Now, he talks about a wide range of subjects and is also the host of Conciencia Radio. Now, that's going to be in Spanish. For those of you that are Spanish speakers, check him out. I am looking forward to a highly interesting conversation tonight. So, Alexander, it's a great pleasure to have you on. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, on the contrary, Daniel, brother Daniel, thank you so much for having me on your show today, being the 27th of January, 2014. It's incredible. I mean, today is a 14. 2 times 7 is 14. let me tell you something that happened. I mean, miracles do happen, and the Lord does give us signs. I've been walking, you know, with my wife. Yesterday we went to have some coffee, and for the second time in 2 days, out of nowhere in different venues, I hear this song, The Sign. You remember that song by Ace of Base, The Sign? I saw the sign,
okay.
Right? Right? I'm like, okay. And that's how the Lord talks to me, you know? He shows me signs. And all these signs that he's posing in front of me or putting in front of me, it's because of a reason. I finished an incredible sermon on the four moons in Spanish last Saturday, live on the internet, which we recorded for our Viva Cristo Jesus website. So we have that website going, which is our ministry, with VivaCristoJesus.com. And it's getting awareness worldwide. We have people from all over the world joining us in our congregation room, our online congregation room every Saturday, you know.
Wow.
So it's wonderful. You know, we're getting together for our Spanish-speaking counterparts, because they also need to receive the information that's coming out of the Christian community in the United States and in Europe, because there's a lot of things going on that Hispanic America and Latin America are not aware of. So I gave a 2-hour lecture or sermon, whatever you want to call it, on the four blood moons. And I tackled the subject from all grounds and came to a wise conclusion. First of all, the things that are happening in the world are prophetic in nature. There's no doubt about that. Right now, I mean, the way the world is going, it's no wonder that people are already asking questions. There's no wonder that headlines are already talking about biblical proportions and snowstorms in Jerusalem and rivers turned to blood in Lebanon. And all these things going on, I mean, you have to turn to the Bible and say, whoa, hold on a second. We're seeing all these signs, all these events, and what does the Bible say about it? Well, it says a lot. And I do think that if we take into account that the Bible is a supernatural book here for a reason, compiled, I mean, beyond all measure, there's no other way to describe the Bible as other than supernatural. We could go into that and validate that, but that's not the purpose of this interview today. I mean, I'm very excited to be on your show, but what happened after the sermon, you know, I was really tired because I spent all night working on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't sleep like for 48 hours, basically, to just get that. You know, the Lord had me working. I said, Father, I need to go to sleep. And he said, no, you're not sleeping. You're going to give it, and then you maybe I'll let you go to sleep, right? So basically, I mean, you feel the presence of the Lord, you know, in your life. And what happened basically was I went outside after the sermon. We went to have some dinner with my children, my two sons, and my wife. And the moment we got to the gas station, this car just closed in front of me as I was leaving the station. Didn't let me leave the gas station. And I'm like, okay. And then I saw on the license plate AB, which is my first and last initial, right? Alexander Backman. And I'm like, okay, hold on, everybody. There's a message here. As the car starts swerving and going in front of me to leave the gas station, it said AB777, you know? So it's like those things happen to me all the time. It's like I'm already walking with God since he saved my soul. So I'm very happy to tell people that, you know, I feel in my heart that the times are upon us where we really have to start connecting with God. We have to connect with Jesus on a daily basis all the time now, because he's preparing his children for something very, very massive. And I believe that also as the dark side is operating and preparing their armies for the coming of their Lord, which is a false Christ or a pseudo Christ, we can call him the Antichrist, and we know by Dr. Preston Bailey and other people that basically, they're going to announce him very soon in 2015 is the date that we have on our agenda. And I don't like to give dates, but, you know, we've been studying dates profusely, trying to pinpoint more or less where we are in when we talk about the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel. It's difficult to say, but it's not that difficult when we come into account all the things that are happening. For example, the thing that they just announced. It's on my website. I put it up there for everybody to see. They just announced the creation, an Israeli minister of the government of Israel, the intent of taking away the Al-Aqsa Dome, the Muslim dome that's there on top of Jerusalem since the 7th century, I think, and rebuilding the Third Temple. And this is very important because the Muslim community is not going to allow that, and they'll go to war over that because they want their caliphate, their Muslim world caliphate, and they want Jerusalem as their capital for that caliphate. And I do believe that one of the beasts of Revelation is Islam. I do believe that the rise of Islam in the world, the coming of the 12 Mahdi, and how Iran is preparing their proxy wars via infiltration, via subversion, via and going into Latin America with 40,000 special forces already present from Iran in Latin America is indicative of something huge coming. We've been seeing for the last 4 years pre-positioning of troops everywhere around the world, pre-positioning of weaponry all around the world. Just look at Diego Garcia in the middle of the Indian Ocean, south of India. I mean, right there in the middle of the Indian Ocean is Diego Garcia, and they got so many troops there. They got everything ready for a massive, massive military campaign. We also have to take into account Midway Islands up in the Pacific. We have to take into account what the United States is doing with all these maneuvers with China. China just prepared ICBM test. They conducted an ICBM test last week. So all these threats and all these rumors of war and everything are, you know, escalating. And when we see patterns, because we follow the news daily for years, so we see patterns when many people might not see those patterns. So I see patterns for me, like data points, you know, and I see clusters of data in my mind, and I know when things are achieving or coming to a crescendo. So we are witnessing what I would call a satanic symphony in very much in motion, where death and despair is run amok among many of the nations in the world. Just look at the Middle East. You got Iraq and Syria in civil war. It already spilled into Lebanon. Beirut is out of control. You got Ukraine going into civil war. You got the situation there in the Balkans. Already Armenia and Azerbaijan are having a military conflict. You have Ecuador and Colombia having problems. You got Peru and Chile at war weapons ready status. And many people don't know that over a littoral, which is basically a river that divides both nations. Hmm. You got the same situation with Japan and China. They're fighting over what China did with changing, you know, the maritime territories there.
Okay.
And you have all these situations coming into view, and you have to start to think, okay, what's really going on? I'm in Mexico, for example, and, mm-hmm. and conducting journalism here in Mexico is the most dangerous profession right now. And we have the second most dangerous city in the world, which is Acapulco. And Acapulco used to be a tourist resort, you know?
Sure.
And when we have all these things into view, when we see that Mexico became – Mexico is already in civil war. They haven't announced it openly, but it's already in civil war. We have pockets of auto defense groups. These are groups that had to take arms in order to defend their communities because the drug lords – took over their communities and they're fed up with it. Mm. Okay. And basically they're taking their communities back, taking arms and taking up arms and fighting the drug cartels. But at the same time, it turns out that the Mexican military is corrupt as hell and they have to fight the Mexican military as well.
Wow.
Just to sustain their livelihood. So we have this situation in Mexico. Down in the southern state of Guerrero, we have the same situation. So the U.S. Pentagon already stated that if Mexico goes into a failed state status, which already is, but they haven't announced it openly, they're going to consider Mexico going into civil war a threat of national security at a continent-wide basis. So that would give the U.S. Pentagon and the armed forces a pretext to preemptively enter Mexico militarily and take control of Mexico. This would be a huge blow to China and Iran and Russia because they're planning a full-scale military invasion through Mexico into the United States. And we have witnesses, we have truck drivers that have witnessed to us and told us that on the border with Guatemala and Chiapas, Mexico, where all these big quakes have been happening recently, there are thousands of military tanks
Wow.
bearing insignia of China, North Korea, and Russia in the jungle. So when I tell you that the Mexican military, for example, also has this problem inside it, it has been dealing with the Chinese army, and we do now, we have confirmation from people inside the CIA that worked at Pine Gap, mm-hmm. you know, that super NSA secret facility that belongs to Australia in the middle of the Australian desert.
Yeah, I've heard some stories about Pine Gap.
Well, an employee of Pine Gap that is basically a liaison to the CIA spoke to his brother, of no less, and his brother spilled the beans on a forum on the internet that basically there are 12 military bases that China has along, well, south of the border with the United States. So when we see all of this, when I've personally documented the massive arms shipments that have been smuggled into Mexico from China throughout the years, and American journalists getting killed just for investigating that here south of the border, I tell you, things are escalating, and they don't want you to know it. We have people telling us that there are Chinese special forces in they have been seen in many border town cities along the U.S.-Mexico border. So all these things come into view, and we have to ask ourselves, what are the Chinese doing here? Well, two things. They're here amassing their troops because they know something big is going to happen in the United States, and that's going to be the perfect pretext to go in and help a poor, needy nation that just suffered some kind of huge, mega, ultra terrorist attack or whatever is going to happen. Something huge is coming. And what people have to come to understand is all this is part of a theater. It's all part of a scenario that's already been pre-planned, pre-selected, and there's nothing really we can do about it to stop it once they put all these things into motion. And the things that worry us is basically our livelihood, of course, but we understand that there are supernatural elements at bay, that Jesus Christ does protect his children. Mm-hmm. So when people go all gung-ho on the fear status, fear-mongering tour, and they start, you know, spilling all this fear on the radio waves, creating fear in the hearts of people that might be listening to the show, for example, it's horrible. It's horrible because we are feeding them. We are feeding the principalities of powers that are above us in the second heaven, demonic forces that are really operating that have not manifested at 100% status here on Earth, but they're already, you know, infiltrating positions of power. They're taking control of certain elements. And there is confirmation that not all of them, not all of all the key leaders of the world, for example, are 100% human souls anymore. Yeah. I don't know if you get my drift. I mean, they're occupied.
We've touched on some of these topics before, and I'll tell you, you know, here's the thing. I tell people, when it comes to fear, there is a verse in the Bible that says this: "For we have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind." And the thing is, I tell people that, you know, talk about fear all the time, because people have fear over all kinds of things, much less trying to comprehend some of the bigger ramifications like what we're talking about right now. Here's the fact. The fact of the matter is, the Bible says, perfect love casts out all fear. And I tell people, you know what? I don't really care what's coming to the earth. If you have a true relationship with Jesus Christ and you know him, really know him, and have him manifesting through you in relationship, in maturity, you know what's going to happen? Fear is going to pack its bags and run from you. It's amazing what Jesus has the ability to transition us into as disciples of him. And I just throw that out there because, you know what? Yeah, we're going to talk about some scary things tonight, listeners. But frankly, you don't need to be afraid, and you do not need to be scared. What you need to be is an example to people that don't have Jesus how to walk this thing, this knowledge, with confidence in a higher power.
That is exactly well stated. I mean, that's what we need to give as a message to everybody. There's a message of hope. But for example, there's a lot of people in the truth community, you know, all these truthers, and they're uncovering all these conspiracies and bringing out the evidence and everything. Great job. But after Alex Jones, after David Icke, after everything they've done, and the new humanity is rising against the New World Order tyrants, what's really happening? I mean, I see them protesting over there at the Bilderberg conference, but those people are just the lackeys of the people that are truly in power and calling the shots. Mm. What, you're protesting with your little cartels there in Virginia over there in Chantilly and nothing happens. You need to really take into consideration that the problem is not physical, the problem is not carnal, the problem is spiritual. That's the root of the problem. And once we understand the root of the problem, that you have two forces at play here, the forces of light and the forces of darkness. They're going into a final mode of warfare that many of you do not remember because you were born just yesterday, basically, but they're all documented in the Bible. Read your Bible and you will understand supernatural events unraveling at a very fast pace and speed. I truly do believe, because I've already seen, I've had open-eyed visions, okay? I'm not going to kid anybody. God has given me open-eyed visions. I don't like them. I mean, I'm typing an email and suddenly, boom, you see the future, or you see an open-eyed vision. You're there in the place where it's happening in that moment. And I see black tanks coming into the land. I see these black tanks with red stars on them. I see thousands of them going into the United States. I see the entire area of the Mississippi River in flames, okay? I see, and I was taken in a vision. I saw everything in flames, all the territory, which is within the Mississippi River, all that region on fire. As I descended, there were two angels with me, and I could see. I'm looking at the map in front of me. That's why I'm looking up. And I could see everybody walking in the street like if they were in a zombie state. They didn't know what just hit them. Wow. They were like in a state of total shock and awe. People leaving their babies inside their cribs and not taking them with them because they were in awe, shock and awe. I asked myself, you know, why did God show me this? Why do I have to see these things? Why do I have to see nukes going off in Houston, Texas? I mean, why do I have to see these things? Well, basically, I think that he's using not only me, many people around the world that are having these visions. Are they going to happen right now? I don't know. Are they going to happen tomorrow? Maybe. But what's your relationship with Jesus Christ right now? What's your relationship with He who created you? Once you understand that relationship and you walk out or you wake up in the morning and start breathing the morning air and listening to the birds singing, everything that we have, now that we are set apart by Jesus Christ, we are anointed, we're protected, and we are on His agenda. It's not your agenda anymore. It's his agenda, and he's going to be working through you. All you have to do is give your position, your ego status, me, 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 back to Jesus, and he's going to take over your life, and then he's going to start working through you. Exactly what you just said. So
I just want to throw something in there. What you're touching on is very important. People say, okay, well, someone said that this part of the U.S. is going to get attacked. So should I sell everything I have right now and try to get out as fast as possible? You know, I've talked to people that have preempted certain things out of fear. They hear something, makes them scared. Suddenly, boom, they just take an action based on fear. Now this is what you don't want to do. You don't want to do things, the root of fear driving you to make decisions. And this is where the rubber really meets the road, folks, is that when you begin to have some higher revelation on some things, some insight, some knowledge, what you do is you begin to say, how do I transition into this place where I'm not doing things for Daniel or for the wife or for the husband or for my fear? What you're doing things, you begin to transition to this place where, like, how can I do things with Jesus? Now, when you transition out of how can I, even for Jesus, because some people, they go out there, they say, I'm going to do something for God, you know, and really, you know, it's great, but it's immature. What you want to do is to do things with Jesus. When you are walking with Jesus, when you are doing things with Jesus, when you are doing the things that he is doing, you are his hands and feet in the earth, and you will be where you are supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. He'll transition you right out. And there won't be a lack of peace. There won't be poverty coming, following you. There won't be joblessness. There won't be all the fruits that come with doing things based on a fear-based mentality or concept. And this is what I tell people. I don't know. What about you?
Well, I think, you know, society has been living and feeding off the fear that the media has spun into their subconscious webs for so many years that we're accustomed to feeding off the fear, like if it were a drug, watching the news and seeing what was the worst thing that ever happened today in the world. Was it the Newtown shootings in Connecticut, or was it the Boston Marathon bombings, or was it the terrible terrorist attacks over there in Russia just in December with these Islamic rebels, you know, attacking, or the future Olympic Games, people blowing themselves up. Women, these women are called black widows. Wow. Because they go with these explosive vests inside the buses and they blow themselves up. So when I see these things coming, you know, and everything is black widows, black forces, black super this, black super that, there's a black element to all of it. And obviously when you learn to peel off the layers, off the physical onion of this world, the geopolitical and everything, the social, the educational and everything, and you see the spiritual layer, you're not afraid anymore because you already understand how it all operates. You see, there's a book that already talks about this in clear writing, and it was in red, spoken by Jesus in red. So, I mean, when he spoke from a status where he knows the future. He knows all. He said, don't be troubled. All these things have to happen. And, you know, when we get to that last trumpet, I'm going to say it one more time. When we get to that last trumpet and you will hear the trumpet, then you know that supernaturally, I mean, that sky that you see up there, the first heaven is going to open up, the second heaven, you're going to see a third heaven open up like a zipper inside a vacuum. You're going to say, oh, my God, this is just like in the movie Tour. I just saw an Einstein-Rosen bridge open up in front of me, and I saw, not Tor, no, I saw Jesus coming in the clouds, you know? I was a guy that in 2005 laughed about this on open radio. What do you mean that Jesus is going to come in the clouds? You know, until he saved my soul, I understood the magnitude of what is stated in the fact that these events must happen. But what does worry me, prophetically speaking, is, for example, right now, they want to rebuild the third temple. Now, this has been an ongoing process. We know that they've been, you know, accumulating all the artifacts and everything, but now they're taking it seriously. Yeah,
and you know, there's been a lot of controversy over the red heifer, which has come out. You know, they thought they had one, and then they found it wasn't the right one. It had a blemish, and then they found another one, and then it's like, oh, we don't have it anymore. But they have like a registry I'm aware of where They have, you know, the lineage of Levi, I think. Something like that. I don't remember exactly, but they have that. They have the garments. They have some of the pottery for the inside that they've already, you know, fashioned. The instruments, someone developed those apparently a few years back. That was in the news. There's a lot that's been building. And it's certainly been quite a story to follow. But please, continue.
Yeah, I mean, I'm moving here, transitioning through my screens, and I'm looking for that article that I do have on what they're doing with the Third Temple.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, they do have everything already in place. They have all the artifacts ready. I already saw the animation of the Third Temple, believe it or not.
Oh, wow.
I mean, the architecture is just most beautiful. And once we see those events unraveling, I don't think they're going to bring it out as easy as we think they will, because you have a dome that is Muslim on there right on top, and you have to get rid of that. For doing that, you have to go to war with the Muslim nations around Israel and declare war on them, which is already happening. You see, Israel right now already changed its status from neutral. Probably they're going to announce it in the next couple of weeks, to a proactive and defensive, offensive measure status against the situation in Syria. You got 30,000 Al-Qaeda soldiers ready, able, and armed on the border with Israel near the Golan Heights. You're going to have a replica of the 1967 scenario. And when I don't see a six-day war.
Hmm.
I see maybe a 48-day war. Well, you'll see maybe a miniature nuclear exchange, and that's the opportunity that Israel maybe is waiting for to attack Iran.
Hmm.
The other thing that is being pushed on the table is that the possibility that there are two rogue nuclear weapons loose in the United States somewhere, and they might be used to detonate, you know, at a certain venue or location inside the United States in order to blame Iran for these attacks.
Wow.
That's another one. I mean, the anti-Zionist group says that could happen. But we also have a radical state, which is Iran. And this guy, Husseini, is not as pro-Western as he leads people to believe. This guy is a guy that when they won the election back in, when Ahmadinejad won the second round of elections back in 2009,
mm-hmm.
He ordered to crush everybody of all the dissidents. He issued an order to crush all the dissidents' bones, basically for protesting against the fraudulent election back in 2009. So we got a guy who is tremendously radical. These are radical Muslims and that are willing to push a nuclear button if they want to. And they don't care, you know, to take out Tel Aviv. They won't take out Jerusalem, but they'll be more than happy to take out Tel Aviv. And I'll tell you why.
Hmm.
Well, first of all, look at the state of Israel from a cultural context. The state of Israel, yeah, it's a sovereign nation and everything you want. It was declared a sovereign state back in 1948, 47. But right now, Tel Aviv was announced as the anti-heterosexual capital of the world.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Okay.
So it's anti-heterosexual. It's the capital of anti-heterosexuals in the world. And this proselytism that they're pushing, oh, look, we are the gay capital of the world. All this is sending what kind of signal to the Muslim nations? Muslim nations, you have to understand their mindset. They still believe that they are back in the day of the Bible. They still believe in the 5th century wars. They still believe in the 6th century wars that they have. They still believe in the Sunnis and the Shiites fighting to the death. So what we have here in the agenda, you got people that are acting rebelliously because they truly believe that this is the last war of all wars. And that's why you see such a massive rising of the Islamic states and these radical Islam groups forming and coming together against Israel. It's prophetic in nature. And if you read your Bible correctly in Daniel 10, 11, and 12, that king that comes out of Persia is going to be that king that's going to go against Israel. So, I mean, I have no doubt in my mind when we see that all things are pointing to one thing. The final conflict between Israel and Iran. And when that happens, with the pretext of attacking Syria and everything, that's when Russia is going to come into the mix, and you're going to have a regional, maybe global, igniting of a third world war. We're already in a third world war. The problem is that it's asymmetrical. And asymmetrical warfare means that they use terrorism, they use black ops, they use Stuxnet, they use viruses and viri and computer this and computer that to bring down civilizations or to pre-attack a country and debilitate it from within. For example, look at Japan. Japan was getting ready to announce that it had an ongoing nuclear program. They took it out with Fukushima. Right now, Japan is having these problems, and now it turned into a fascist state. Shinzo Abe is a fascist dictator, and now to speak about Fukushima gives you 15 years of prison. I mean, those things are happening right now. You have, in Mexico, we turn to fascism. In Mexico, we live in a fascist state. Let me tell you what's going on in Mexico now. Mexico, there's no government agency at a federal level where you go to where they don't ask you for your 10-digit fingerprinting and the scanning of both of your irises for the federal databases that go directly to the NSA.
Huh.
And we're talking this nationwide. And we're fighting against this. I mean, we're fighting against this tooth and nail. Right now, you can go to my website, conciencieradio.com, and you'll see what we have there. You know, we've been talking about this, and I mean, this is worse than you can ever imagine. And what's worse is we know, and we finally backtracked, who is responsible of the NSA technology that they have, this Stellar Wind technology, they call it. Stellar Wind is this program that they use to spy every computer in the world. And up on my website, there's an article at alexanderbackman.com where anybody can go, and if they find the secret link on the Edward Snowden image I put there on my website, on the image itself of Edward Snowden, who's still an active agent of the United States intelligence apparatus, and people believe that Edward Snowden is this whistleblower and he came to save the world from electronic surveillance, I got news for you. This guy is still working for the agencies in question. Now, inside that image that I just took from the recent interview that Edward Snowden just gave to German TV just today with his vampire fangs, I put a secret link to the PDF file inside the image. If anybody can find it, they'll get the article I wrote for free. Now, that article that I wrote, Daniel, is so hard-hitting that's why we have it at a close status. But whoever finds it and can read it, go ahead. It's so strong because it tells you who controls the NSA from outside the United States. You see,
wow. The
NSA is not a United States entity. It is not. And is not under control by the President of the United States.
Wow.
The NSA has programs that are above the U.S. President's pay grade, all right? For plausible deniability, they won't tell the President of the United States what the NSA programs are. I can tell you the NSA has deep space programs, way deep in outer space. I mean, well, we could talk about Alpha Centauri and stuff like that.
You know? So some of the reports that I'm getting, emails that people are sending me, make me believe that. Because I'm hearing from people that they are pulling back memories, and this is particularly people that have been involved in different kinds of mind control projects, but
yeah.
Pulling back memories of being involved in deep space programs.
Wow, I didn't know that, yeah.
Yeah, I know. So what you're saying is like huge confirmation to people that will probably listen to this program. And I just want to say, like, I mean, I don't know if you know anything else about this stuff, but if you do, please feel free to share.
Well, I can tell you this. For example, why do you think the U.S. Naval fleet is always called the USS Kennedy or the USS this and USS that? What I know is because of the United States space program. The USS, the extra S there, is talking about the spaceships, the military projects that are way out there. On Mars, they got teleportation abilities. They got some serious stuff going on, and this has to do with some ancient technology that's becoming available for the first time in more than 10,000 years that became unearthed with the permafrost down there in Antarctica melting. Now, they've been finding some underground cities in the Arctic region. That's why China's down there. Everybody's down there right now, you know, like crazy. Mm-hmm. But it's all under control by the NSA. They got military astronomers observing outer space. They got technology that is not of this world, super advanced, super old, but super advanced technology activating itself through artificial intelligence, technology that can scan your soul at a distance, and this technology knows who you are, stuff like that, really deep, weird, classified stuff that, let me tell you, the Nazi program is small in comparison to what the NSA has in store for the people of this planet. The NSA is a super secret privately controlled entity. So what I can tell people is that it's not the NSA spying on the U.S. citizens and the domestic program going against the Constitution that has to worry us. What has to worry us is that the NSA has been doing this to the citizens of the world from day one. Wow. Because their interest is not to stop terrorism. It's already been proven that the NSA wiretapping has not stopped any terrorist attacks. So when we put that into account, then why do they want this super status? Well, because they want to create a super state status where they can have a ubiquitous control of society via technology. You know, last night I spent time and watched with my family the movie Minority Report with Tom Cruise. Okay. This movie, yeah, from Steven Spielberg. Mm-hmm. Excellent, excellent movie. If you watch it again today, you would go, whoa, now I understand why they made that movie like in 2002.
Yeah, I'm sure. And there's a lot of movies out there like that. Like, for instance, Total Recall. Just crazy full of all kinds of ridiculous references to things I couldn't understand until just a few years ago. We do have a caller. Do you want to take a caller? Or?
Sure. I mean, it's your show. Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah.
All righty. We have a caller. I assume you're calling in from either a private line or a Skype account. You are live on Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall. State your name and your question. Hello. All righty. Doesn't sound like they are on the other's end of the line, so we're just going to continue right along. Yes.
Okay. When we talk about that, let me tell you. Here in Mexico, if you want your social security right now, mm-hmm. and I mean, we're talking about half of the population in Mexico are really, really poor. I'm getting this echo, so I'm going to...
Yeah, we're just going to bring you right back on. All right, and we are back. A temporary glitch, but we're not going to let that slow us down. Folks, we are in the middle of discussing NSA and related issues. You know, I mean, this whole deep space thing, and you mentioned Mars. You know, I'm going to tell you this, Alexander. I'm going to tell you this. I spent 1 year. Okay, in 2011, God put me on a media fast. He said, you know what, you're going to sacrifice some things. You're not going to watch TV. You're not going to watch movies. You're not going to play video games. Basically, I wasn't able to do anything. I wasn't even listening to music that was, you know, just whatever music, secular music, Christian music only. And, you know, I mean, it was just to the extent I would go to the gym to work out, and I would, like, look at the ground the whole time because they would have TVs, and I wouldn't be – you know, watching the TV. But, you know, it's pretty crazy fast, this media fast. And it was like non-stop information absorption. And all I did that whole year, basically, was sit in my house, read, write, pray, and read, and listen, and read, and write, and pray. And I mean, in that year, God began to take me into some things. He took me into deep places of prayer that I didn't really know you could go before that year had started. And what those places were, it was like, really going into the heavens. It's not praying so much from earth and asking God to hear our prayers. It was like being there in the heavenlies. And this was real breakthrough for me. And, You know, I tell people that there's different planes that you can pray on. And absolutely, you, as you graduate in the spirit realm, can go higher and higher and contend with, you know, God causes people to contend with bigger and bigger things as they mature. I tell people there's a reason why Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities." It really doesn't say Jesus wrestles with principalities. He already did that. Now we take his victory up there to them and put it in their face, like a contract, say, respect the blood. But anyway, we have to mature into this kind of ministry when we go higher. God, that year, he took me and began to have me do intentional warfare with Mars. And this is before I really knew anything about Mars. This is the most nonsense kind of instruction I felt like I was getting in prayer. Like, pray against agendas on Mars. What? Are you serious? Why would I mean, come on. That doesn't make any sense. Mars is a planet. It's just there. Yeah, well, as when I began to pray about it, that became to me some of the most intense moments of spiritual warfare I'd ever experienced up to that point. I mean, it was intense. And there was times that I could actually, as I was in prayer, sense the different kinds of entities that I was contending with up there. And, well, I'll tell you this, they were not human. And this was an incredible revelation for me because I said, wow, whatever's up there, my goodness, it's no good. And God is, you know, throwing a wrench in their motor by having people pray. And I don't think I'm the only one. I think God has had other people pray against agendas on Mars. But it's just confirmation when I hear people say something like, you know, this is going on Mars. And I have someone else, you know, I've had people tell me I have been to Mars. And they really believe it. And these are all, again, going to be people that have been subjected to black ops, mind control experiments, different things. But they say in these things, Project Montauk, one of the reasons why they did that. They use this chair, they put people in it. These rituals basically open a portal, bend time and space, and suddenly, boom, you're going through a jump room and you're in Mars. This is crazy stuff. Don't really talk about it that often, but we're talking about it today. These seem to be very real and very important issues that we need to begin discussing now, especially when it comes to what it means. Anyway.
Okay. You want intense, you want declassified intense stuff, NSA, Montauk kind of deal? Get this book, Project Soulcatcher.
I have it. As a matter of fact.
Well, check this book out. Project Satan, Project Alice.
Oh, yes.
Mind Uploading Research Group, How to Upload Your Mind to the Internet, and it's going to be downloadable by 2025. Then you're going to be able to be hacked via your webcam. They have resonance technology now to just go and take your thoughts away from you using satellite technology. What I have confirmation about is that the NSA already scanned everybody's brain waves on the planet. They just need to associate that data to a physical database of a person in order to associate the brain frequency, and they can tap into your mind without you knowing it. And that's why the Minority Report movie is everything and all about that, because it's about taking control of your mind via Wi-Fi technologies. And many people don't know that they have this ubiquitous future for all of us with the Internet. The Internet's going to become the beast. The Internet will become the intelligent organism of the world that's going to scan everything you do. I mean, there's no other way to explain when I've had access to documents that I can provide to anybody that talk about super secret, super soldier programs in the jungle of Mexico where they're cloning babies at huge rates of speed and turning them into super soldiers, where you have programs where these babies, this in their embryonic state, are connected inside these giant wombs that are suspended in the ceiling. And you got thousands of human embryos in these artificial wombs. And if you don't believe me, go to fourth level biosecurity at Berkeley, at Livermore, okay? Go down there if you have access. And they have these artificial wombs there where they have – and they said, well, basically a scientist said, well, we don't need women anymore. Finally, we can get rid of women on the planet because now we can make any human we want in the form we want. And they've been mixing, look, rabbit, monkey, dog, cow with human. And they have all these chimeras down there, and they've been exploring this, not only in the deep underground military structures under Dulce and everything. They've been experimenting with us in Yucatan, and you got these super secret programs in Brazil. So when we talk about the Nazi programs and all these deep stuff, look, let me tell you, these embryos that are forming in those artificial wombs, or matrixes they're called, mm-hmm. they get connected to artificial intelligence technology, quantum-based light electron computer.
Wow.
Okay? So they can communicate with the mother. That's the mother. The mother begins to prepare them in the womb.
Wow.
Yeah, with a 4-bit computer-based quantum technology. So their brain structure, remember, our brain connects to our soul. And the soul is what? The soul does not have substance, a physical substance.
No.
The soul is basically etheric, okay?
Sure.
Well, basically, imagine that the artificial intelligence machine can connect through the ether into these boys, or these children are being birthed. They're being birthed out of these huge wombs. When they finally are animated or brought to life in a clone state or status, they know who their mother is. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Right.
So these children, this is so top secret that they have nuclear weapons around these programs, okay? In Virginia, they have some of these children underground. Now, these children, they can connect via Wi-Fi to the Internet just with their mind. The Internet is in their mind at all times. So forget the Google glasses and all this stuff, the Google tattoo you're going to take. No, these things are in preparation of inserting and manipulating your pineal gland so they can control you at a distance. So when you know about the mark of the beast, if you're not sealed by Jesus Christ now, when that technology, they're going to bring it out by accident. Now, let me give you the facts. I mean, Steve Wozniak, he's the co-founder of Apple Computers, okay? He came out and said, when they started announcing all this advanced technology back in the 90s, he said, you know what? I'm really scared here because when they bring out artificial intelligence, they're going to say it was an accident. They're going to say, we're sorry we connected it to the Internet. Now we can't undo our little mistake, our blurb. And he said, that's the day when we're going to become, okay, get this, we're going to become the lapdogs of that technology. We're going to become the slaves of the robots. And when we talk about all this that Tom Horn brought out in Forbidden Gates, which I checked that book and I checked every reference in that book, it's right on the money. Because I went into that deep stuff, you know, I researched all the DARPA stuff and what's coming. Of DARPA is now working for Google. This executive, her name is, I don't remember her name right now, this evil witch that appeared on TV with this little pill that you're going to be taking, this potato microchip that's going to be in your body, and you're going to be able to access your website or your email just because of the frequency that your body emanates with the biochip you're going to take inside your body.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, all this technology is right here now, Daniel. I mean, we're not talking about, oh, let's go into the year 2040 and Ray Kurzweil and talking about all that. It's right now. So there's going to be a point we're not going to be able to go against the system, but we're going to be able to defend ourselves against the system in what way? Supernaturally, of course. So if you are not sealed, and here it is. Ex-DARPA head wants you to swallow ID microchips. This was on Alex Jones, right? Because they grabbed it from YouTube. And the YouTube video is just amazing. So I'm going to give you and your people and the people that are listening to us in the chat room, I already gave them access to the file. Those are there in the chat room. I'm going to give them the link to that article at the Alex Jones website. So they can just read that and watch the videos. And how this woman is so demonically infested, you can see it in her eyes. She's like, wow, it's just going to be cool how the kids are going to take this chip inside their body just to rebel against their parents. They're going to take this tattoo. Now, what we know about these tattoos is that they have nanoparticles, nano elements to them that can connect to your nervous system, and then your thoughts are not even yours. And all this technology back in the 90s was the same technology that was taken out of these alien implants, remember? With Dr. Roger Lear and all that stuff. Now they perfected the technology at a military level, and now they're bringing it into Google. And Google, what is Google? Google has become the establishment's beast representative system. When you see those Hollywood movies, you know, when there's one private corporation that controls the entire world via technology, right?
Oh my gosh.
Right?
Sure.
And yeah, and it's like total absolute control of the population in this dystopic nightmare. Well, that's Google. Google and Eric Schmidt and this woman are exactly those people that we are talking about.
Well, I'll tell you what. Google recently...
Regina Duggan is her name. Regina Duggan.
Yeah, Google has been like literally grabbing up all kinds of bizarre things, including like, here's one. Robots from Boston Dynamics, military contractor. I mean, okay. And then how about this? Revelation 17, verses 12 through 14. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive as powers kings 1 hour with the beast. Beast being, of course, this son of perdition guy, this confluence of all evil, past, present, and future. These have one mind. And I looked at that a long time ago, and I was like, one mind? How do you have one? Sounds like hive mind. Sounds like they're all tapping into the same source of information here. Well,
okay, and that's the thing. They need that system. They need the databases of all human people on the planet in order to correlate the beast system. Look, the artificial intelligence system will not work if in a database you have not given your iris scan or your 10-digit fingerprints. You see, when you don't participate in the system cannot see you. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Wow.
So it's very important that you do not give your fingerprints to anybody inside the system, because your fingerprints are not safe inside the federal databases. Okay? They are not safe. Let me tell you something. There's a phenomenon in biometrics where there's a trans-border sharing of data between government agencies, like Interpol, for example. Interpol says that they have the most advanced database biometric system in the world of all the fingerprints of all criminals, etc. But now what they want to do is they want your 10 digits in case of pre-crime, exactly as in the Minority Report. They want to stop crimes before they happen. How? Because they're going to tap into your mind. And since they're going to tap into your mind via satellite technology, they're going to know what you're thinking at all times. So how are we going to defend ourselves against this? Well, first of all, you're going to be free of this system if you don't give them your data. If they have the data to correlate your brain waves mm-hmm. with what they already have in file, mm-hmm. then you're gone, because they're going to know, okay, John Doe, hello, Mr. John Doe, give me your fingerprints, give me your eye scan, and now I'm not going to tell you, but I'm scanning your DNA without telling you and asking you for approval, because your DNA has a specific resonance, like a fingerprint. It's unique in every individual. I'm scanning your brainwaves, and you don't know about it, Mr. John Doe, but I'm putting that into the NSA database, where we will match that frequency of your brain here at the government office with the ones that we already pre-scanned via satellite. So now we can just match the brainwave patterns, which is unique for every individual on the planet, and now I can tap into your brain whether you like it or not.
And, you know, we've talked about this issue on my program before, for those of you that have not followed. You know, the issue of being able to tap into someone's mind via satellite, I mean, on the surface, this sounds crazy. Here's the science. Every person has something called a bioelectric field and a neural signature. This is scientific fact. You can look it up. Okay, because everybody has one of these, they are actually kind of like a fingerprint. In other words, yours is different than mine, is different than 1 billion other people, 8 billion other people on the planet. We all have a different one. So it's kind of like when you can access that frequency or that neural signature, that bioelectric field, it's kind of like getting access to a cell phone. Like every cell phone has the individual number that you would dial. When I dial a cell phone, it bounces off satellite, comes back down. It only rings one phone. There could be 5 cell phones in a pile, but that wave that comes in to that phone and triggers it comes into only one. Even though, why wouldn't it trigger all 5? Because there is a specific signature it's searching for. Every person generates one of these. Now, what the people do, and I have a great book on this, you know, I've talked about it on the program before. The guy's name, right over here. Matter of fact, let me look for it real quick.
Sure. Yeah. While you talk about, get that book.
Dr. Nick Begich.
Redfern.
He's done a great job with this. And what he explains is that
What
you have is two waves. You have a signal wave and a carrier wave. What you do is you put the carrier wave, you give it a target, and when you put the signal wave, you pair it up with that. That signal wave then drives information into the target. You can do this to a human. This is scientific, and they've known this. This is old stuff. This is not new. This has been around, this understanding, for a long time. Even in the public record, it's been around. So this, when you say, oh, what, you guys are crazy. There's no way that you can use a satellite to tap into someone's mind. Well, no, we're not. As a matter of fact, just look up the science. Just look up the, this is all documented. In fact, it's not even this is not even what's classified, really. And so, anyway, there's a lot going on.
I mean, just look at this. This is on page 291 of the book Project Soulcatcher by Robert Duncan. This guy worked for the CIA. He's part of the mind hacking strategy group over there. And he works at Harvard University, okay? It's not science fiction. This is science fact. And this is from the DOD documents. He says, a side note on these programs. The Constitution says that civilians can be recruited during the time of war. The U.S. is always at war, mind controlled, tortured, raped, and brainwashed. It clearly doesn't specify. What a grotesque illusion of a country we have become. Scam artists, liars, cheaters, and poor thinkers. We are all the disease now. We are trained to think this way. We do not represent America honorably anymore. I am just the artificial conscience of what they were supposed to be. Mankind is obsolete. This is a quote from a DOD target who said this is what she heard when she was blasted by these frequencies.
Wow.
Okay? Then it continues to say the following. The people, through neural telepathy, said that I was property of the Department of Defense. They sequestered to do false flag operations in the United States for helping mobilize the war on terrorism. I didn't obey to them and was further tortured accordingly using these invasive technologies. So when you tell me that my labs, military abductions, don't exist, let me tell you something. The state police of one of the border states in Mexico contacted me 5 years ago, and this was one of the commanders. These are the top head detectives, forensics detectives in the state of Baja California. He contacted me because of two things. He said, we have all these people coming into our police stations out of nowhere, and they don't know each other at all, he told me. He called me on the phone. I had to go up there, drive up there, had a private meeting, super classified stuff here. And he's like telling me, guess what happened? These people don't have TV. They don't know how to read a book. And these are really poor peasant people, okay? They don't even have shoes on their feet. Wow. And they're saying that these blue lasers come across the border from the United States into their homes, into their dilapidated homes, and they start getting these blue lasers inside their house at night. And then these lasers, when they touch them, they get like paralyzed and they start hearing thoughts in their head of people talking to them.
Hmm.
Okay. Wow. These are people that have not even gone to school. Okay, Daniel.
Wow.
Then this commander tells me just last week, Alexander, another set of seven people came into our office saying that they had gone into their homes. They took them against their will and they put microchips in their heads.
Wow.
Who were they? They asked them. They were military, and
wow.
Now all these people are desperate because they want these chips out of their head, and these are white panel-sized trucks, vans, that cross over the border from the United States into Mexico with black-tinted windows.
Mm.
So when you tell me that these things don't exist, you have no status or base to claim that I'm a nut job, okay? Okay, when I say these things are going on, it's because they are going on. And I know so many things that are going on that, I mean, we could take hours just talking about.
Well, and here's something that I wanted to bring up before we get to Blood Moons, which I do want to give you a chance to share on, because I know that you've done some research. And you know, I know that Anyway, we'll get there. There's something I want to bring up first, though. Then we'll come back to that. Here's what I want to bring up. Recently, in an epic blunder, the Pope was the current Pope was standing with, I guess, a couple children that released some doves. And shortly thereafter, as a large group of people watched on in horror, the doves were attacked in mid-flight. I mean, they just got attacked by these birds. One was a hawk or a vulture, and the other one, predatory birds. And it was like, wow, you know, in the Bible, doves, what do they represent? They represent peace. They represent the Holy Spirit. And it's like, what? What just happened there? And moreover, when you look at the fact of who this current Pope is, which is a Jesuit priest, I just want to get your thoughts on that circumstance and then maybe some more thoughts that you have into the Pope himself, current Pope, which I'm interested to hear.
Sure. Well, first of all, yeah, indeed, I just put the link there in the chat room, and thank you very much, so everybody can read it for themselves. Yeah, I heard it with just on the radio with the Hagmans just today. Yeah, in fact, this just happened over there in Rome. They released these two white doves, these children, and basically what happened is a seagull and a crow, a black crow, attacked these white doves that came out flying. Well, you know, when you do an action, any action, you light a candle or you light incense or whatever you do, there's an intention, a spiritual intention behind that. When they release these doves, there's a spiritual, and I can tell you this right now, nefarious intention behind that. Oh, they can look like white, beautiful doves of peace, but they're not birds of peace because the demonic element that's releasing the doves through the Pope, okay, is demonic in itself. Hmm. So yeah, I mean, they can pose as sheep, and in reality, they're dressed, they're wolves in sheep's clothing. The same thing here. That crow represents the Holy Spirit destroying what the Vatican is doing, deceiving the nations. Because crows are not necessarily bad. If you read your Bible, Isaiah, it shows that somebody was taken to a safe haven across the Jordan River. I read it the other day. Mm-hmm. And the crows gave him food. I don't remember which one of the...
I believe that was Elijah.
Elijah, thank you. Elijah was taken across the Jordan River, right, to safety because they wanted to kill him, and the crows gave him food, you know, and sustenance because the Lord said so. So not seeing... The crow is not the satanic element itself. The satanic element is the institution that has forsaken Christianity and has... post as a Christian front for all the nations. Hmm. The Vatican is far from that. We have everything to understand that the Vatican is the capital of the international crime syndicate. When we talk about drugs, when we talk about arms, when we talk about wars and rumors of wars, the Jesuit operation inside the Vatican controls all warfare on planet Earth. I mean, there's no false flag event or event that might happen militarily if it's not first approved by the regional councils of the Jesuits and the general superior of the Jesuits, who controls basically the Vatican itself and controls the Pope. Now that we got a Pope, this Pope Francis guy, who now controls the papal seat, who passes off as a vicar of Christ, has nothing to do with Jesus Christ at all, okay? He can dress in white all he wants, okay? He just had a meeting with Ratzinger, who is, he's a wanted man around the world. There's an arrest warrant in Europe for Ratzinger for pedophilia, genocide, I mean, you name it. There's even accusations right now in Holland that he killed little children in a hunting sport game, just like the Hunger Games. These people hunt children in the black forests of Holland.
Let me just interrupt you for a second there, because
yeah,
if you want testimony about this practice, where certain elites they go out and hunt children, or just pretend like they're going to hunt them and then catch them and rape them. I mean, this is just, you know, the book Transformation of America, Kathy O'Brien's book. She details that in her testimony, that these things they happened not only to her but to her daughter and to other slaves that were involved in these mind control projects, and she was MK Ultra you know, Monarch programming. But, like, this is not, like, you know, just a random story out there. It just, as a matter of fact, I know somebody personally that I met when I was in Tulsa that told me themselves, my dad took me to this thing, and they stripped me, and they made me, you know, do this, and they shot guns, and then the one that got to catch me, I mean, it's just horrible. I was speaking face-to-face to an individual that testified to the exact thing you're talking about. But anyway, please continue.
Yeah, well, not only that. I mean, we got an eyewitness. She's 40 years old. She's all traumatized and all jittery and jumpy because of all the trauma she has, gang raped by Prince Bernhard and all these people, okay, for years. And all these children are taken out into the woods. I mean, what happens in Belgium stays in Belgium, right? Until now, we know that all these victims are coming out from Belgium, from Holland, from Bavaria, and the Illuminati territory. And they do rape these poor little children. They traumatize them so much, and then they kill them off, okay? Oh. So when we talk about the central institution of that has given the blessing to all these acts of torture and mayhem, and their inquisition, which is still ongoing, is the Vatican. The Vatican is a sovereign state that Mussolini gave sovereign status again with the Lateran Treaty, and that should have never have happened. And now we have a problem that nobody can touch them. And the Jesuit operation is, all these are soldiers, they're highly trained intelligence assets, they control major universities, Fordham, they control Georgetown. I mean, look at all the presidents that have come out in the United States. Clinton, Jefferson Clinton studied at Georgetown University. And they're all Jesuit operation. This is what Alex Jones never wants to talk about. He never wants to talk about the true problem behind the New World Order and the Illuminati, which is, in fact, the Jesuits. The Jesuits, look, the Illuminati fears the Jesuits. That's how powerful the Jesuit operation has become. And now that they announced their New World Pope, because that's what it was announced on the headlines, okay, in Ireland. Wow. I have the screenshot. It's on my website, New World Pope. And I'm going to put that link right now in the chat room so people can read my article. Okay, there it is. I wrote it in Spanish. I know you might not know Spanish, but put it into a Google Translator, and maybe Google will track why you are reading that. but this guy that they brought out of Argentina, put him as Pope, he's a Jesuit operation. Now, when we talk about the Jesuits, when we talk about Cardinal Spellman, who killed John F. Kennedy and Knights of Columbus. When we see the operations unraveling, when we really get and go into depth into studying who these people are, when you have people like Eric Von Phelps.
Yes.
Yeah, it is Eric Von Phelps.
And let's not
Phelps.
Forget one more. I want to give you guys, those of you listening, one more. Excellent book called 50 Years in the Church of Rome by Charles Chinnicky. Now, this guy was a personal advisor to President Abraham Lincoln. You knew him personally. And in his book, he was a priest in the Catholic Church. He was in Canada for a long time. Then he came to the U.S. He knew the whole thing, the runaround, the Jesuits. He got to know them real good. He exposed in his book, which was written, I mean, he didn't publish it until his death. He said, it can't be published until I die because I would like to die a natural death. In his book, he exposed how the Jesuits were behind everything having to do with the Civil War itself. They wanted a separated nation. They wanted North and they wanted South because if the nation was divided, it was easier to conquer. Abraham Lincoln became their number one opponent when he refused to allow the South to stay separate and to allow the South to become the permanent enemy of the North. He united the nation and they had to take him out. And they did. And he exposes how they did it and all the things. I mean, when I read this book, I said, oh my gosh. And this guy was a true insider. I mean, he really was in the system, looking at it from an inside-out perspective. If you want some history, brief history lesson, get the book 50 Years in the Church of Rome by Charles Chinnicky. Amazing text. Anyway, please continue.
Well, all these documents that have been very well documented, I mean, I got 700 slides about the Jesuits. I've read them all. I've gone into the books. I've read the books. I've read the Committee of 300. I've read everything you can read about the New World Order, okay?
Wow.
Yes, I've read everything for more than 20 years on. I've been on this. Okay, and I finally came to understand, okay, all these people in the pinnacular structure of the world elite, there has to be like at a pyramid, you know, when you get to the apex of the pyramid, there has to be a person or a point, an appointed person on this planet that has direct connection with these dark energies or nefarious forces that are behind the operations of such evil and heinous crimes in the United States, like 55 million abortions, okay? 55 million abortions, or many people don't know this, but let me tell you this. All the concentration camps in Poland that the Nazis built, they didn't build them. They were built by the Jesuits.
Oh, my gosh.
Jesuit officers like Himmler, he was a Jesuit officer. Wow. Stalin was a Jesuit officer. Wow. The Jesuits are behind all of this. And they aligned a perfect pentagram in Poland with all the five major extermination camps.
Oh, my gosh.
They tied down the people. They killed more than 12 million Christians. People think about the 6 million Jews. What about the 12 million Protestants and Lutherans and Christians alike that were killed? What about the 50 million Russians that were killed in World War II? Everybody talks about the 6 million poor Jews. What about the rest of the people? Sure. These people were out to get Christians, no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. And it's not in the history books because they control education. And what I want to tell people is that these ley lines that were built at Treblinka, and they were built at Krakow, and they were built at Auschwitz and all those places. All these ley lines connect independently to Dublin. They connect to other parts in France. I forget the name right now. They connect all the way to Tehran. They connect to Rome, where they practice the Saturnalia. And one of the missions of the Jesuits was to entrap these 18 million souls in these ley lines to really give more demonic power to the power elite from Rome.
Amazing.
So when people tell me, oh, Alexander, you're talking about conspiracy theories, these are not conspiracy theories because we have the evidence of the map itself.
Wow.
Of them forming a perfect pentagram with the five. Look, just look at the death list, okay, that the Nazis used. IBM gave them the database systems, typing out every single person that went to those extermination centers, okay? Why would they make such a perfect list of people going in if they were just going to kill them off anyway? Why didn't they just use machine guns? I'm going to tell you why. I just did a series of 8 shows on this in Spanish. I'm going to tell you why, so you really get the hang of what evil truly is and how it's going to be unleashed upon this world. And if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ in your heart right now and asked him to save your soul with his blood at Calvary, I mean, you are totally fried, okay? And let me tell you why. When we talk about these centers and the list that went into the very meticulous listing of the people that were going to be killed, and those lists are in possession of the United States government right now, I can tell you that, because they still believe that there is demonic power and influence over all the events that happened back in 1939 through 45.
Wow.
And one of the things that I want to share with people is that many people are trying to say there's new people, you know, Jeff Renz and all these people are coming out and saying, oh, you know, the Holocaust never happened. It wasn't 6 million Jews. It was more like 350,000. And they were killed because there was so much pestilence and there were typhoid fever and all this and that at the concentration camps. That is false. Because the only way you can explain off the shackles on the beds that they used on the stretchers. They used these stretchers to transport the bodies.
Okay.
They tied them down alive with shackles on the stretchers while they took them to the ovens. They burned them alive.
Wow.
They burned the people alive. The objective of the Holocaust was to burn people alive because they wanted to torment these souls. And let me tell you something else, because you can't explain that off like, no, they were just getting rid of the evidence, or they were trying to, you know, get rid of disease. No, that is not true. They were burning them alive. How else can you explain the shackles? Yeah. If they were dead bodies, you wouldn't need shackles on the stretchers.
I mean, that's a great point. Who in their right mind would use shackles on a dead body? I mean, really? Come on.
Okay, because they were alive. And the other thing that is just terrible in itself is that they would just put them in the oven for 2 minutes and then take them out.
What?
And put them in the mass graves. And that was the operation. I mean, they redefined satanic manifestation, okay? the Jesuit operation. They designed everything that went on. Leukowitz and everybody, the Pope, I can't remember his name right now. I have to go into my notes, but I mean, these people are so evil that the Illuminati is pale in comparison to what they are. And that's why Alex Jones never talks about them, because he would get sued for it, or he would lose his status. They would not let him speak out openly about these things. Now, I'm gonna recommend a webpage if you want to continue researching. That is one-evil.org, okay? If you want to go into the deep research there and read for yourself, that webpage can show you what I'm talking about.
And that is,
I got to commend these people, yeah.
For those of you that will listen to this later on, that's one-evil.org, O-N-E, one.
And after I did the research and I proved it for myself, these people are right on track, okay? Mm-hmm. Right on track. So once we do the research, we know that these people had to belong to these institutions for them to come out on the internet and publish this stuff. You can't make this stuff up. You cannot make pentagrams of evil up and align them with cities like Baalbek and Zurich and Odessa and Jerusalem. You cannot do that. You cannot do this at random. And we know that the Pope is hell-bent on taking control of Jerusalem as well. So when we see this ecumenism and this new emergent church forming and everything bringing out, and John Hagee coming out with his four blood moons, but John Hagee also saying, well, look, being homosexual is okay. Everybody's part of the Church of Jesus, right? Everybody can repent. Well, it's true. You know, they live in sin. But I'm not gonna support what they're trying to do with this proselytizing anti-heterosexual attitudes. And I'm not gonna defend the Jewish orthodoxy because it's in the Bible that I have to pray for Israel. People are confused which type of Israel we're talking about. And this is what really gets me, because everybody's so pro-Israel. Have you really documented yourself and read what they have done to the Palestinian people until you come into terms with what the Zionist Rothschild Empire has done with that satanic flag of a country? Then we can talk about Christianity. Because if you think you are Christian and you're supporting a country that has more abortions per capita than the United States, then you're sorely mistaken. When you're supporting a country and praying for a country that has the number one capital of homosexuals in the world, like Sodom and Gomorrah, where do you think the word sodomy comes from? Okay? And what did God do to these people at Sodom and Gomorrah and other three cities back in the day? He destroyed them. And what's going to happen in the United States? God is going to destroy the United States, because the United States is that emulation of the state of Israel itself. It's the great emulation of a great state that could have been and now turned its back on God. And what has it become? It has become Great Babylon. And what's going to come? Terrible things are coming. But not to you. If you're Christian, nothing's going to happen to you. You see? And that's what I don't get, Daniel. People are so in fear of what's coming. Hey, I'm celebrating that I'm going to the prison systems. Hey, I'm celebrating that I'm going to be taken out in the name of Jesus. Why? Because I know that Jesus already conquered this world for me. I know that I'm going to go up to heaven. I'm not afraid anymore. That's why I can speak openly about these things, and I'm not afraid.
And that comes back to the first point, fear. You know, what kind of power is working in you? And here's the thing. You know, there's so much coming. I personally, this is what I feel like. I feel like God has an ace in the hole on some of these things. And I just don't know where they are or what it's going to look like. But you know, the way this unfolds is going to be really interesting, especially with the idea that I believe that God is raising up an army of people that are going to be able to pray and to do warfare. And see, because this is the thing. Everything we're looking at on the earth sphere, right? Well, you don't get this until you get into either the dark side or the light side, God's side, Jesus' side, and you realize this is all being drawn in or pulled in from heavenly realms. Everything in the earth is literally a reflection of higher issues, laws, agendas, things that come into manifestation in the earth. And so when you have a group of people that learn how to pray and confront things in the heavens, well, then what you have is that there's a shift in the earth. It doesn't even make sense. Why? Because there are natural things, supernatural things, and when you begin to tap into the supernatural, natural laws become overridden by the power that you're tapping into. So you tap into Jesus, yes, you can override natural laws, and this is how miracles happen. You know, while the church was praying for Peter in the prison, what happened? He was in shackles. What changed? The earth was shaken. The shackles broke off him, and he walked out of the prison and to the house. They couldn't even believe that it was him. They thought it was his angel. Why did that happen? You know, did it just by chance an earthquake come and break off some change on his arm? This is ridiculous. I mean, that's what happened. And God sent the angel, and Peter, he got up and followed the angel out, and then he showed up. Anyway, what I'm saying is, you know, there's going to be some high-level warfare that God is preparing people to do. And I believe that, you know, the conflict that's going to come into this earth as a result is going to be really intense because, my goodness, you have some evil agendas. But you have, when you involve supernatural forces and powers, things change. Prayer, folks, remember one thing, take away one thing from this program, prayer changes things. And God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Listen, I want to get to blood moons because we haven't touched on that yet. I want to get to that before we run out of time because I feel like we could just stay on this conversation and not get back to it. So what, and honestly, I don't even know, folks. You know, I haven't gone into Alexander's research into this yet, and I'm just as interested as any one of you to hear his perspectives on what the blood moons might mean. Now, for those of you that are listening, you might not be sure. What are blood moons? What's the significance? Well, here's the thing. The Bible does reference passages say the moon will turn to blood, the sun will grow dark. You know, it puts some of these imagery in passages dealing with the last days. In the years 2014 and 2015, here are the facts. The facts are that on April 15th, 2014, that's this year, that's Passover, October 8th, 2014, that is the Feast of Tabernacles. On April 4th, 2015, again, Passover, and 9/28 or September 28th, 2015, also the Feast of Tabernacles, you will have what they call a blood red moon, which is really a lunar eclipse. Now, the significance is that you have four of them in a two-year period, all landing on Jewish holy days or feast days in their calendar. And while it's happened before in history, every time it has happened, significant events have been historically noted to occur. For instance, in the 1400s when it happened, it was around the same time that Christopher Columbus, quote-unquote, discovered America. It happened shortly after Israel became a nation in 1949. It always comes along with huge, different kinds of, you know, crazy shifts in world history. So anyway, there's a little bit of background. Now, Alexander Beckman, what are your thoughts?
Oh, okay. I got the mute button. I got it off. Okay. Basically, what's going on here, Daniel, is very simple to understand. Okay. A red blood moon is not that strange at all. I mean, it's a common event. They're called lunar eclipses. Okay. And sometimes they get really red because the umbra or the penumbra, the shadow of the earth upon the moon with the sun behind it, creates this effect, which basically in all terms, the moon looks red. Okay. Yes, there is a... there is a fact that we are being set up here for an event in 2014. Well, just in April 15th, you got October 8th, you got April 4th of 2015, which is also Passover, and then you got it back again in September 28th of 2015, four blood moons. Now, this is a unique set of events because it does happen, but it rarely happens that it lands on Passover and Sukkot, which is the Feast of Tabernacles. So these are important events, but they are not Jewish holidays. Now, I want to tell people this because we have to clarify.
Sure, that's true.
These are the feasts of the Lord.
These are
the Moadim. These are the appointed feasts that even in heaven they still represent. They do them. But that has nothing to do with the Jewish people. It has to do with the Hebrew nation that came out of Egypt. Okay? That's what the first eclipse represents. The people being brought out of captivity, out of Egypt by Moses. Okay, that's what it represents. The Jewish people, the term Jew was, they began to use it in the middle of the 1700s. Okay, so the people that were of the land of Judah were the Yehudi. They were not the Jewish people. So these people have lived off that, you know, that name or title or status that they have appointed to themselves and passed off as the biggest con in history, taking a country that doesn't even belong to them. That is what we would call the apostate of Israel. And I wanted to lay that on the table because I want people to understand there's a difference in the Bible when we read the Bible spiritually than to when we read the Bible physically, carnally. Okay, there's the fool and the wise man. And when we talk about the wise man, that's Jesus. When we talk about the fool, that's us here. Okay? We must understand that when we talk about Israel, we talk about Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ being the head of Israel. He's the cornerstone. He's the chief cornerstone of who we are as a Christian nation. Okay? And he revealed me to this in prayer before I came to your show today, Daniel, where we disconnected. I went to have some food. I was praying over my food. He said, tell them that they are my saints. Okay. I said, all right. And then he put this code in my head. Okay. I can't explain, but he does these things. The word saint, when you spell the word saint, S-A-I-N-T, he said, tell them that they are set apart. Set apart. S-A represents set apart. The I represents in, okay, the New Testament. He said, the N-T is my New Testament. My new covenant is my new law. I want them to understand that. Because they are set apart in my name. Okay? So this is very important when the Holy Spirit reveals to me these things because I have to say them. If not, he's going to be on my case like for 2 weeks until I bring it out. Okay? So now, there, I said it. Now, based on that, yes, Mark Blitz from El Shaddai Ministries came to a realization, an incredible thing that he managed to pinpoint other events that are key in prophecy and stuff around the state of Israel. For example, there was 4 blood moons after 1948, after Israel was stated. In 1950 were 4 blood moons. There were 4 blood moons in 1967 and 68 on key dates. Okay, on key dates of the Hebrew lunar calendar, not the Jewish calendar. That they use it is another total different thing. And there are 4 events that are key that are going to happen for lunar eclipses in 2014-2015. We already know that. What is really interesting, though, is that since we have these tetrads since the year 162 through 163 after Christ, then we had another series of tetrads in 796 through the 96. Then 48 years later, we had another series of 4 lunar moons or tetrads in 842 and 43. And then 19 years later, in the year 860 through 61, we had another series of 4 blood moons. What's important about these events happening is that the span or the space between these lunar events or eclipses in 795 through 96, 842 through 43, 860 through 61, Daniel, listen to me. The difference is that there is a distance, an equidistant year of 48 years and 19 years, respectively. Now, put those numbers together. 1948. 1948 represents, yes, the date in which officially, you know, the state of Israel was formed. Okay, that's when Ben-Gurion entered into Jerusalem. So I checked, you know, 1 week before when that lunar eclipse happened in 67. Mm-hmm. And I checked some stuff, and I checked another event in 1948, and I discovered things at the NASA website on eclipses because I did the research. You know, I had to do the research in order to find out and pinpoint if what Mark Blitz is saying is true. And it is true in a sense, and he did pinpoint a series of things. I discovered, for example, in 1917 when General Allenby entered to take control of Jerusalem on behalf of the British Army.
Okay.
On December 28th, there was a total lunar eclipse. Wow. And this was like 2 weeks after General Allenby took control of Jerusalem for the Rothschilds. That's when the Rothschilds bought off the land that we know today as Israel. Hmm. Then in 1948, David Ben-Gurion chief of the executive World Zionist Organization, declared the creation of the State of Israel. And what's important about this event is that he walked along what street? Rothschild Avenue, right? Okay? Hmm. Now, what's important about these events with respect to the alignment is the year 1948. So I started adding up the numbers and I said, wow, this is incredible. Hmm. Because the eclipses, in the same as we just mentioned, the ones that happened in 796 through the 96 and at 795 through 96 and so on, the distance of 19 and 48 years respectively between these clusters of lunar eclipses happens again from 1949 through the year 2014 and 15. We have exactly a span of 48 and 19 years between these events in 1949, 1950. If you add to that number 1949, the number 19, you end up with 1967 and 1960. We had four blood moons exactly on the holy Hebrew calendar, on the Sukkot and also on the Passover. So this is amazing. And then if you add 19 to you add the number 48. Remember 1948. You add 48 to 1968. You end up with the year 2014-2015. So we have a model, a mathematical model, where we can say, wow, I Jesus put in motion since he created everything. So he already knew this was going to happen, you know? Wow. Now, that's just one part of this. The other thing is John Hagee and Mark Blitz are on this Hebrew roots movement, you know, trying to Yeshua everything to the people. When people are being led away, led astray from the New Testament, which is really the new covenant that Jesus Christ brought upon the nations. I mean, all these Hebrew movements that are coming out, you know, saying, well, you know, we're Messianic Jews. We're not Christian, but we're Messianic Jews. We do believe in the Messiah, Yeshua, but we're not Christian. Well, I'm sorry to tell you that you're wrong. Because if you believe in Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross, then you have to confess and get on your knees and say you are Christian. Okay? Christian. I put the numbers there so everybody can see them. Another thing that I want to say, Daniel, if I may, before anything else, is that I added the numbers 19 and 48 together, 19 and 48, and it gave me the number 67. Again, we go back to 67, which is the year when four lunar eclipses happen in the world. These are not necessarily about Israel. I want people to understand that Jesus is going to use Israel, the Israel that we see in the Middle East, for prophetic purposes, of course. But he's not... let me explain it this way. There's two Israels involved. The spiritual Israel, which is the Christian church, and there's the physical Israel, which is that country that is not Christian at all, all right? I don't know if I'm making myself straight here.
Well, and I will tell you this. I really do view things in a very similar way, and that's one of the clarifications that the Lord has given to me. You know, the term elect in the Bible is used about the Bible. It means to be chosen and so forth, and it's used of, you know, in the Old Testament, it's used of the nation, the Hebrew nation, but then you get to the New Testament and you find out that we are all made the seed of Abraham, and then we talk about how God grafts us in, and if you know He has cut off the branches, they can be grafted in again. In other words, a Jew is not saved unless they repent and believe in Jesus Christ. I mean, that's just the fact of the matter. The new covenant is based on Jesus. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." There's only one door. It's Him, and so when you're looking at prophecy, you know, I see a lot of Old Testament prophecies that haven't been fulfilled. And I do see, a spiritual Israel that is fulfilling prophecy. And then again, you know, I also see in the book of Daniel, for instance, that the Antichrist is going to, you know, end the sacrifice and put up the abomination of desolation, which is echoed in Matthew chapter 24, which I believe has both spiritual implications and physical implications. I believe it's going to be almost like a shadow, so to speak, on the earth. But yeah, I mean, in order to do some of these things, you would need a third temple, and where would you put the third temple but in the nation where it's, you know, being used by a literal people group that is trying to reinstitute certain temple sacrifices. I mean, so I think, And I don't know. I mean, it makes sense that there's both in view in certain different places. But anyway, you go ahead and continue.
You know, the Orthodox Jews have so much hatred against Christians that, I mean, there's nothing holy about what they're doing over there in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
What they have done to the Palestinians, there's nothing Christian and holy about what they have done. They deny Jesus Christ. They are Talmudists, and that's what I don't get. Why did John Hagee, a Christian pastor, base his research on Mark Blitz and this guy? Let me give you the name, because I did the research of what John Hagee did. Mm-hmm. And that's why everybody's talking about these four blood moons. He based his research on a Talmudist, and he's a scholar. He's an academic scholar over there in Jerusalem. I mean, this guy is top notch. I'm not denying his expertise on the matter of the Torah and everything. But this guy, he's a Talmudist Jew. And if you believe in the Talmud, it means that you believe that Jesus Christ is boiling in hot excrement in hell. That's what they have in their Talmud.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's true.
So what? How are we going to believe and give credence to John Hagee or Mark Blitz when they are part of these Hebrew roots movements trying to infiltrate and telling us, yeah, look at these four blood moons. They have to do with Israel. Israel, pray for Israel. Pray for Israel. Yeah, sure, pray for Israel. But what about the fact that, okay, his name is Dr. Moshe Pinchak, okay? Moshe Pinchak. And he's a rabbi over there, and he has a bachelor's degree in the Talmud itself, okay, from the academic Bar Ilan University from 2004. And he's a PhD, and these people are very well prepared. So when I tell you these things, I'm not kidding you, okay? Why would they base their research on a Talmudic Jew who denies Jesus Christ and then try to pass this off as a Christian event? These four blood moons have to do with Israel and the Christian movement and all that. It has nothing to do. What it has to do, yes, it's a clear sign from God that something huge, I agree with John Hagee there, something huge, so mega, is going to happen during these four, or during this process of 2014-15, that has to do, yes, with the state of Israel, but also with the state of the spiritual Israel. I believe there are two things that are going to happen. One of them, Israel is going to be involved in a massive world conflict with regard to its status as a nuclear power in the region. And I think Israel will be attacked massively by these forces that are already amassing around it. I believe that Israel, the spiritual Israel, is the spiritual Christian Israel that we represent, and that Jesus Christ is already preparing his children for his coming. I do not think that he's coming in 2015 like Mark Blitz is suggesting. He's saying that in September 2015, get ready for the rapture, because we're going to be raptured. We're going to be taken. No, we're not. Okay? And the word rapture comes from kidnapping. It comes from the word raptore, which is like a raptor. You know, it's like somebody's going to come and take you away. Jesus is not going to steal anybody. Jesus is going to come with a great trumpet in the sky. He's going to come with great power and great glory. Everybody's going to see him coming. So all of those that are running on the rapture bus, and they know who they are, well, your rapture is not coming. And they already realize that. That's why they kick us out of their forums and their chat rooms, because they don't want us talking about this. But I'm going to just post this as a challenge to anybody that still believes in the rapture. Go watch the movie After the Tribulation, and it's at afterthetribulation.com. Do the research for yourself. Take 2 hours, grab your Bible, and then start opening up your eyes. It's at the last trumpet, okay? So, you know, it's very easy to see Christians saying, well, you know, I'm going to be out of here. I'm not going to live the 7 years of the great tribulation, like John Hagee says, you know? Okay? Okay? And he's like, don't worry, we're out of here, and we're not going to be inside the great tribulation. I saw his whole lecture, and, you know, I had to laugh, because he's saying things like, God is going to destroy Iran. He's going to destroy Germany. He's going to destroy Syria and Ethiopia and Egypt and Libya, because these are the nations of Gog and Magog, and Russia are going to be destroyed. They are in the crosshairs of Yahweh, because Israel is the land of Jesus Christ. Well, really? Do you really think Jesus is going to give his blessing to a country that has killed and committed genocide to an entire nation? Do you really think Jesus Christ is going to come back triumphantly and defend a country that has on its flag the Star of Moloch? Do you really think that? I don't think that. You know, I really don't think that's going to happen. Okay, so I really need people to start waking up and reevaluating their position as Israelites. Jesus Christ was an Israelite. He was not a Jew. He was an Israelite. He was from the tribe of Judah, but he was an Israelite. He was not a Jewish by religion, nor by nationality.
And so, I want to chime in here because this is something it's really big. It's really big. Is this pre-trib, post-trib, rapture thing? You know, when do we go? When is Jesus? Man, okay. I released my first book, Noah's Ark in the End of Days. I got nothing but rejection. It was either for one, because I acknowledged that Nephilim were hybrids in the book of Genesis, which, I mean, you just can't get more clear as an exegete what the Bible is saying there. And two, because I said, you know, well, there's no pre-trib rapture. I mean, this idea, it doesn't even make sense. It doesn't align with any principles of, like, what we see God doing in the Bible. He always delivers his people in the midst of their tribulation, not prevent them from going in. And furthermore, you know, I give people three verses that literally destroy, and I'm going to go through them right now real quick before we come back, because, that Jesus is coming back at the seventh trumpet is so clear. I don't know how anyone could miss this. And so three passages here, and they're all the famous rapture passages that it's like, what did you guys not even read what it said? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 15 through 17, right?
Wait, Daniel. Huh? But first you got to read it, not like that. You got to read it in context. It's the whole thing from 13 through 17, because that's what they don't get. They just read one verse and they say, look, we're going to be taken. No, you got to read the whole thing.
Yeah, okay, let's start in verse 13. Makes it clear.
Cool.
But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you start, and this sleep means they're dead. They died. They are no longer living on the earth, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For we say this unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. In other words, the resurrection of the dead has to come first. Now I asked pre-tribbers. I said, okay, well, one, if the dead are raised when Jesus comes back for quote-unquote rapture, what happens to all the quote-unquote saints that died during the tribulation period? Because, well, Revelation 13 says the Antichrist will make war with the saints, the kadosh, if you want to put it back to the original Hebrew. It's the Greek version of the holy ones. I mean, what do you do with that? People will die during the tribulation. So is there two resurrections of the dead? The resurrection of the dead has to come first. And then it says, the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and we'll meet the Lord there. And say, okay, well, there's a trumpet there that's coming. What trumpet? Which one? What number? Give us some more information. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, behold, I show you a mystery. And keep in mind that word mystery, folks. It's so key. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. When? In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the, drum roll please, last trumpet. So there's a last trumpet. It's not just a trumpet. It's a last trumpet. And for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And if you know about the Feast of Trumpets, what happens is it was basically they stand on a hill and watch for the new moon. And it comes over a course of a two-day period. So they would say of this feast, they say, you know not the day or the hour. Why? Because if you can't, it's going to happen at some point over a 48-hour period, the day or the hour. That is the Feast of Trumpets. So when Jesus said, you not know the day or the hour of my coming, what he was making a reference to is the Feast of Trumpets. Okay, so there is a last trumpet that is associated with this, and it says at that point what happens? Dead are raised, and then we are changed. Drop over to Revelation chapter 10, and it seals the deal on this seventh trumpet thing. It's so clear. It says in Revelation chapter 10, and the angel which I saw upon the sea and upon the earth lifted his hand to heaven, and swear by him that lives forever and ever. That was beginning in verse 5, by the way.
who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer, but in the days of the voice, watch this voice of what? The seventh angel, okay, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished. What was the mystery? Paul just told us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 15. He says, here, I'm going to show you the mystery. You're going to be changed. Now we have the mystery. What? At the seventh trumpet, it says, the mystery of God is going to be finished as he has declared to his servants the prophets. What's the mystery? Christ in us, the hope of glory, the full revelation of Jesus Christ revealed through his people as we are changed, manifesting all at once with the dead that died before us and those that are alive and remain. And you look at 1 Thessalonians, says alive. Why would it say alive and remain? Because a lot of them died in the process. The Bible talks about how the martyrs are standing beneath the throne of God in the fifth seal, asking God, how much longer until you pour out your judgments against the earth? And here's another thing, folks. I mean, I'm just loaded on this stuff, but people talk about, well, God, he's not going to put us through his wrath. We are hidden from the wrath of God. Sure, yeah, but you know what? Really, if you really look at the chronologies in the book of Revelation, you don't see wrath showing up until you really get to the vile judgments, which are basically poured out on the beast kingdom. And frankly, it seems like the seventh trumpet comes right before that. In other words, God redeems us, and then boom, he judges the beast kingdom as he's come, because Jesus comes back to destroy earth, judge it with fire. I mean, why we think, you know, the trumpets, they're called judgments. The seals, they're events. I mean, the word usage is so key. And here's the thing. People get their panties in a bunch over this. And I can tell you, it's hard to not believe in a pre-trib rapture at times, because everybody, they want to, you know, not be your friend. They want to say, oh, you don't know what you're talking about, or you're an idiot, or you don't know how to read the Bible. And, you know, it's like, wow, what am I missing here? And furthermore, if I'm wrong, if you're wrong, it's not a big deal. Because guess what? Boom, we're gone. No problem. But if we're right, then I believe God wants to begin doing some things in some people now to prepare and equip his people to go through the most difficult season this world has ever experienced. Because we're going to be on par with the days of Noah. And if you understand the days of Noah, the antediluvian world, the kind of technologies, the manifestations, the integration of non-human and human in the world population, I mean, what is coming on the earth is extreme and excessive. We need a new level of thinking to be in, to go through these things with the victory that Jesus promised us. Because you know what? I'm sorry, I'm ranting here. I'm going to come back in a second. No.
But this transformation you're talking about is very important, because there's hidden elements inside our DNA. Our spiritual DNA has a code inside it. When we get saved, our DNA starts spinning clockwise, not counterclockwise. Many people don't know that.
Wow.
And that's when our bells start ringing for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And that's when Jesus can start inserting certain things and activating his people here on earth. I'm not afraid, because he's going to give me the weapons I need to fight off these evil people. I'm not afraid that they're coming for me. They're not going to be able to touch me. Why? Because I have the power of the Lord Jesus Christ behind me. Okay, above me, below me, and left and right, and ahead and behind me. I got the power and the army of Jesus Christ behind me. He has 100 trillion angels in heaven just waiting to pounce on this world. Why are we afraid of using the power of prayer in reaching Jesus Christ and him unleashing his army upon this world to help us in this strife that we are in the middle of? Well, you know what? I'm not afraid. That's why I pray every moment I can. Incessantly, I'm praying constantly, because I know that the power of the Lord Jesus Christ lives and indwells within me. When I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit inside me, inside you, Daniel, I know we're connected. I mean, we're having overlapping dreams. We're having overlapping experiences. All of us are. I'm having quantum events jumping from here to point A to point B. I don't know how to explain it, but then I appear physically in another part of this planet. I don't know what happened. Maybe half a second happened where I am right now. I close my eyes, I'm somewhere else. I'm popping in and out of places. Well, because Jesus is preparing me for something. He's telling me, look, I'm going to give you these powers, but I'm preparing you. Jesus has the power of invisibility for his children. Many people don't know that, but when you say, please cover me, Jesus, please protect me, I am under the shadow of his wing. Psalm 91 clearly states that we are We have to abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Wow.
Ooh, you're speaking of shadow people. No, the shadow of the Almighty is the ultimate shadow. It's when you're in the dark and nobody can see you because you're under the protection of Jesus Christ.
Let me tell you something. In the book of Hebrews, this one is, and okay, coming back to what you said, all right, you said Jesus has the power of invincibility. I will tell you this. There was a crowd that Jesus was speaking to, a crowd of people, and he basically testified saying, yeah, I'm the Messiah. They got so angry they wanted to hurt him severely. They might have wanted to throw him off a cliff or something. The Bible says this. He hid himself and then walked through the midst of them. He actually walked right into the crowd, and no one could find him. But he was right in the middle. You know, and I love this because the Bible says in Psalm 23, in the Lord is our shepherd and we shall not want. I love this. We walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but we will fear no evil. His rod and his staff, they comfort us. And then it said, and he will set a table before us in the midst of our enemies. In other words, you could be setting off atomic bombs and I'm having a lobster dinner. I'm sorry, the imagery might be a little excessive, but I believe in the power of God. You know, Hebrews chapter 6 says this, and this one has been blowing my mind. I've been trying to wrap my mind around this, and this is even, it ties into another concept discussed later. The Bible says, by these great promises, we are become partakers of the divine nature. One of these days, I'm going to preach divine nature. People are going to get a new revelation on what Jesus has for us. But in Hebrews 6, it says, and in verse 5, it says, and have, past tense, have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. And the powers of the world to come. And God
wow.
says, what do you think the powers of the world to come are? I was like, well, there's the next age, aeon in Greek. What is that? That is that's the glorified state. Huh. What powers come along with that? He said have. He said past tense. You know, God is waiting to do something in the earth. And I'm telling you, somebody's got to get excited about this.
That's why I'm excited. That's why I'm preaching to people. Look, we're going to be transformed into light, but light beings beyond what we think in our carnal state. I mean, what we think is going to happen in an instant. He's going to give us the power of co-creation. Jesus, when we're with him, he's going to give us the power to be with him. We're going to reign with him. We're going to be kings and queens with him. That doesn't mean that he's not our king. That means he's going to give us and invest in us his trust, his power in us. Wow. I mean, Of course, all principalities and powers of evil are going to be scared when we walk this earth as saints of Jesus Christ, because they're not going to be able to do anything against us. And it's already happening. There's a lot of testimonies of people, young people, Daniel, 21 years old, that are having multidimensional experiences in their dream state, even in their awakened state, where they're fighting like in angel wars. You know, they can't explain it. But all that is because it's really happening. Mm-hmm. These experiences are real, and we're being prepared for something massive.
We are being prepared for something massive. Let me ask you a question. Somebody's going to ask this question. He said, I don't know the Jesus you guys are talking about. Now, you know, I'm not going to do a show for a little while, I think. And so I'm going to give you a little extra time. And here's what I want you to do with this little extra time. Now, you had an experience where Jesus Christ came and spoke to you for a long time. And I would like to close the program on this note. Talk about that experience and how someone can know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Because I think that would be an amazing end to this discussion, if you don't mind.
All right. For 9 hours, I spend 9 hours speaking to the Creator himself. I had 9 hours audibly. He spoke to me audibly. I could hear him everywhere at the same time. I knew it was him unequivocally. I knew it was him because of how he spoke, how he put things in front of me that nobody else could do. He put signs and visions in front of my eyes, floating here in the space I see before me. He showed me things that I would not be able to comprehend. He brought me out of the dualistic state. He showed me the unity of his creation. He showed me what true love truly is. We're not even close to what Jesus Christ really wants for us. We're just barely rushing or touching upon what the Holy Spirit is. Wait till he really comes inside us and takes control of us. Oh, man, Jesus Christ is coming soon. And I'm so glad about this because 1 month later, after this nine-hour experience I had with the Father himself, he took me to heaven. And when he took me to heaven, I was transformed. I mean, after that experience, I can tell you absolutely that there's a beautiful better place in this world waiting for everybody. So don't be afraid. But tomorrow, I mean, I don't know what could happen to you if you're not saved. You better start aligning with Jesus Christ as soon as possible and give your heart to him, because he is the creator of all things.
Mm.
Supernaturally. Yeah, time's up. I don't know how much time we have left, Daniel. I can
we have
on
enough
and on.
Time for you to lead someone in prayer if they want to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior right now.
Amen. There's a really, really, really old prayer, the Sinner Prayer. It comes from the first century in Romania. I have the seal. If anybody wants it, I can send it to them. It's very simple. You just go inside yourself, into your heart, and you get on your knees and you pray to Jesus Christ. You pray to the Lord, creator of all things, okay? And you say, Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, I know what you did at the cross for me. Please have mercy upon my soul. Please cleanse away my sins and forgive me for all that I have done. I am a rebellious spirit, and I acknowledge that rebellion, and I am sorry for that. And I want you to please have mercy upon my soul and save this soul now. I know that the blood that you shed at Calvary, at the cross, in the year 33 AD, at 3 p.m. when you expired with that red moon above Jerusalem on that day, truly was an event that shook the universe and stood time still. Because as you said in John 19, Tetelestai, and you said it to the eyes of all who could hear and all who could see, even the principalities that tremble upon your presence, Jesus, you said, it is paid for. Tetelestai, you paid for all our souls. And we're not supposed to be here. We're not supposed to go to hell. We're supposed to go to heaven. And once we are born again in your spirit, then we can say we are not citizens of this world, but we are citizens of heaven, the third heaven where Jesus Christ reigns. So Jesus, save those souls right now. Please go into their hearts, cleanse away their sins, and take them back in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Folks, right. This has been Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall. I want to thank you so much, Alexander Backman, for coming on. His website, www.alexanderbackman.com. Folks, keep in touch. Make sure you check out the website. Go through our archives. And until next time, God bless you and Godspeed.